Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. Indeed, money does make the world go around, but you have to have some money in order to make the world go around. And just in case you've been living under a rock for the last few years, Illinois doesn't really have a lot of money to go around. Yeah, they finally passed a budget, but with lots of dissension and issues and concern, and we wanted to take that apart a little bit and dissect it. With a man who has the ear of the governor, with a man whose influence and the influence of his institute, the Illinois Policy Institute, is clearly growing with the governor. And so we just want to dig into a little bit. He's willing to let us do that. Welcome to the podcast. This is Paul Listick from WGN-TV. And joining me is John Tillman. He's the president, CEO of the Illinois Policy Institute in Chicago, a very influential institute. John, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. And, of course, we're in Springfield, too, Paul. We have to be in both places because the bad guys plan the crimes and finance them in Chicago, but they commit them in Springfield.
Very true. I was being Chicago-centric in that comment, but you are indeed in Springfield where you're right, where the action takes place or doesn't take place, as the case may be. So, first of all, for my listeners who haven't maybe seen you on my Politics Tonight show where you have been, explain what it is the Illinois Policy Institute is, what you guys do.
We develop public policy, which we hope to turn into legislation that becomes law if passed by the General Assembly in Springfield and signed by a governor. We've been at it since 2002, and we try to advance an agenda that focuses on empowering people, whether they're rich or poor, black, brown, or white, man or woman, tall, fat, skinny, short. We try to help all Illinoisans live a better life, and I think your opening song was actually kind of funny because there's often a tremendous focus on money as part of this, but what we're really trying to do is sort of unleash the potential, the human spirit that lives within each of us. And, you know, some people like to work hard and make lots of money. Other people maybe aren't as focused on money, and they want to coach their kids' Little League game after school or after work. And we all kind of find our own way, and we're trying to create a state that allows everybody to live out their version of the American dream right here in Illinois.
Of course, there isn't a song called Release the Potential of Your Spirit, so I couldn't use that.
No, but we should write that, Paul.
Let's do it, John. I took the easy route, money. So you create this institute. I understand the purpose behind it. What do you say to folks who go, well, I don't know, we elect these senators and these representatives in Springfield. It's supposed to be their job. Why should they listen to you? And by the way, just to be clear, you guys have a conservative bend to things. Why should they listen to you?
Well, you know, people use a lot of different labels, Paul, conservative, libertarian, free market, and I think that's less important than what we actually do, which is we work on behalf of taxpayers and all citizens in Illinois as sort of a government watchdog, taxpayer advocate to try to get better policies that allow people to live a fulfilling life. And we of course, are only funded by volunteer donations from people. We aren't represented by a union or some association like the Retailers Association or the Manufacturers Association. There's lots of people in Springfield besides us who are representing various interests from, as I said, the retailers, the manufacturers, real estate interests have a lobbying arm down there, trial lawyers, obviously I mentioned unions. So there's all kinds of voices all the time in Springfield trying to tell the Springfield legislators and the governor and administrators what to do. And so our voice is the voice of the people who are interested in tax policy that affects homeowners. We have the highest property taxes in the country, as an example, so we work a lot on that. And I think that's one of the things that it makes us successful, and the reason we've built a big megaphone is because people feel underserved and not listened to by their legislators all too often in Springfield.
So I'm guessing you weren't listened to a lot when Pat Quinn was governor, probably not listened to a lot when Rob Blagojevich was governor, but you sure are being listened to by Bruce Rauner, the current governor.
I would actually say a little bit differently.
Okay.
We certainly were listened to and opposed by Governor Quinn. We put a lot of pressure on Governor Quinn in our Freedom of Information request to demonstrate how much he was listening because he tried to do a variety of things internally to counter the work we did, particularly on his distortion of employment statistics. Governor Quinn had a terrible record on employment, and he was trying to say he had a great record. And so he was definitely listening to that. But we also have allies and friends in the legislature on both sides of the aisle that we've worked with. You know, a lot of our work is bipartisan. For example, we did a really amazing work to help Lisa Creason, who is a woman that committed a crime, a nonviolent crime. She robbed a, I believe it was a Subway store when she was very young and looking for money to help care for her child. She served her time in prison many years ago and then came out and many years later wanted to become a nurse. And it turns out it's illegal to be a nurse if you had a crime like what she did. And we believe deeply in human redemption and second chances. And so we worked with Democrats and Republicans and advocates on the left and right to change the law. And Lisa amazingly just recently passed her nursing test and is now going to be a licensed nurse in the state of Illinois. That is now legal because of the work we did with allies on both sides of the aisle. And I'm very happy for Lisa and the patients she's going to treat so well.
And very people-centric. And, of course, obviously the real issues come in terms of the dissension. When it is a money-related issue we're talking about, how do you budget? How do you do things? That's where you and the current governor agree. And the prior governor, as I said, maybe I shouldn't have said, didn't listen to you. Of course, he did listen. He just didn't adhere to what you were suggesting to him. And I'm talking about former Governor Quinn. So let me go currently, because one of the things that has been really interesting for those of us who watch politics and watch Springfield, there's been a huge changeover in the governor's administrative team, as chief of staff, just all sorts of advisors. And it's as though he's gotten rid of everybody who was there and replaced them with Illinois Policy Institute people. Pretty good placement stuff, but is that healthy for the government? Is that a unified voice in the governor's ear? It's certainly a more conservative voice than the governor has seemed to express.
Well, remember, it's the governor who sets policy, and staff is simply there to advance the governor's agenda. That was true with all the people that have been working there since January of 2015. It's true for the new people that have come into the office, and it'll be true for whoever may be the new governor in either 2019 or 2023. That's what a staff does. They advance the governor's agenda. So the particular ideas that any given staffer brings to the governor, it's in the end the governor who decides. I do think, though, that it's very typical for administrations, not just in Illinois, but if you look at gubernatorial administrations all over the country over a long period of time, over decades, there's often turnover because these are very difficult jobs, and you tend to get inside the bubble and get a kind of a closed mindset. I think the governor was looking for a broader approach to how to not just do policy, but how to do outreach, how to do the messaging and marketing and the communications and building alliances and allies. And, you know, this new team is just brand new. And by the way, the governor has about 100 people that, you know, work on his broader team directly, and of course, in addition to the many thousands that work in all of government. And, you know, only a few people changed out and have been brought in, including Christina Rasmussen, who's now the chief of staff.
Yeah, those are pretty key people, though. It's not like he changed the janitor in the Capitol. I mean, these are pretty significant
positions. I'm not minimizing how important it is, but, and of course, these are all key positions. What I'm saying is that there's still a core team there that are part of the team that have been there for a very long time, and I think that we shouldn't overstate the number of positions, but certainly these are very important and strategic positions. And I think what they're going to do is try to help the governor advance his agenda as he defines it, and I think they'll do a good job with that.
So how successful? I want to go to a general principle now of what we've been sort of living through in the past period of weeks. The governor had his approach to a budget, and of course, I can say the Democrats, but let's just say Mike Madigan, right? Speaker Madigan has his approach to a budget. This really has been loggerheads between the two of them. So what happens? The governor's budget hardly sees the light of day. The speaker's budget essentially goes through. Governor overrides it or vetoes it, and his veto gets overridden. And then, of course, what we've been living through more recently, SB1, Senate Bill 1, the education plan. Now, as we speak now, of course, people will be hearing this podcast for many weeks and months to come. But as we speak now, the governor, and I think rightly so, basically said Democrats waited almost the full 60 days till they put this bill on his desk, the 11th hour of having to get education funded, and he issues an amendatory veto, as he promised he would. He had been begging for the bill for months. And then, of course, we know as we sit here now, the Senate has overridden that veto. We'll see what the House does in the next week or two. If they override the veto, my question for you, John, is this state just saying, Governor, we appreciate what you're trying to do, it just doesn't fly in the state of Illinois? Or are the Democrats just better strategists than he is in their timing?
Oh, I certainly don't think that they're better strategists. I think they're very good, but I do think the Democrats presently have more political power in the General Assembly. You know, they have 67 members in the General Assembly, so they only need four Republicans to come over and vote for an override. And the Democrats already have a supermajority, as was evidenced on the Sunday vote that you referenced.
They did get one. Sam McCann, they got one Republican senator.
Well, he's a Republican name only. He's been essentially in the unions and the Democrats' pockets since last year, so we don't really count him.
Okay.
But
He's voting his constituency, by the way.
Yeah, and they didn't need Sam McCann's vote. They had they passed it with 38. They only needed 36, and so his vote wasn't essential to the override. But the point is that right now the Democrats have more political power, and I think this is an important thing for everybody that's listening and for the people of Illinois to think about. Do you want to go down the path we're currently on? You know, you mentioned Speaker Madigan and his power. You know, he's been Speaker for all but 2 years since 1983. He's been chairman of the Democrat Party since the 90s, I believe. And he is largely viewed as the most powerful man. And let's remember, prior to Governor Rauner, he had a very difficult and contentious time with Democrat Pat Quinn and Democrat Rod Blagojevich. I would submit that the mistake that too many in the media are making is they're making this all about Rauner. And certainly you can put some criticism on him, as many have.
Well, that's because everyone's living in 2018 right now, John.
Well, of course, and that's my point exactly. Who is Governor Rauner's partner in this, and what is the pattern of each of them? The pattern of Speaker Madigan is that he will do whatever he wants to control political power, and he's doing it in a different way with Governor Rauner than he did with Quinn or Blagojevich. But Speaker or Governor Rauner has said, "I'm not going to keep doing business as usual, and I don't want to have a tax hike without reforming spending." The governor rightly said that the spending reforms in the budget deal were insufficient to justify such a big tax hike, so he vetoed it. And of course, as you point out, the Democrats overrode him. What the governor is saying is, "I can't put another tax hike on the backs of the people of Illinois, who already pay the fifth highest taxes in the country, without asking for reforms." And the Democrats refuse to give it to me, so I'm going to veto it. And the Democrats have now made their choice. They think that's okay. And so the people of Illinois have to decide, do we like the current leadership, Speaker Madigan, controlling both chambers of the House with Senate President Cullerton, or should things change, or is it all Governor Rauner's fault? That will be the battle between now and 2018 when the next election comes.
And, of course, the Democrats have already slated J.B. Pritzker as their candidate, so no open primary there. You know, technically a primary, but not an open primary.
People have a chance to vote, Paul. Come on.
Right. They will have a chance to vote. But let me ask you, I mean, from your perspective, and obviously you have the governor's ear, so you've got some staff there, but you and he talk. So do you look at this and go, you know what, this isn't such a bad thing, because in many ways billionaire versus billionaire neutralizes that issue, because that's one of the attacks the Democrats always had on Rauner. He's this billionaire businessman. Well, guess what? So is J.B. Pritzker.
Well, I would say that the governor made his money. He started out with less than a billion, a very small amount of money. I mean, he came from a good life, but he certainly didn't start out with a pocket full of money, whereas Mr. Pritzker did. I do think that the point is that Mr. Pritzker will be the junior partner in the relationship with Speaker Madigan, and it'll still be Speaker Madigan that dominates. But I do think it'll be highly entertaining to see if J.B. Pritzker is a good and effective candidate. He'll certainly have well-paid and talented staff to help him. But in the end, politics, as you know, is about the retail nature of it, your ability to perform under pressure in the Klieg lights and all the rest of it. And the jury is out as to whether that's going to be something that J.B. Pritzker measures up to.
Some of your policies, you want to freeze property taxes. The governor wants to freeze property taxes. And I find this fascinating, especially the budget vote that happened a while back, which is, you know, I don't think there's any Illinoisan who would look at you and say, no, I love the notion of my property taxes going up. So theoretically, everybody loves the idea of frozen property taxes. But then, of course, they also don't want to cut any services. I mean, it's a tough battle, right, where people say, don't raise my taxes, don't do anything. But at the same time, don't cut my services. And the Rauner approach, and maybe the Policy Institute approach, is more of a cutting approach. You certainly don't believe in any kind of new taxes and new revenue, but it really is hard for the state to subsist because of past spending practices, and I'll give that one to you.
Remember, every single time that discussion of new revenues comes up, everybody says, well, this new amount of revenue is going to solve all of our problems. And that's what the Democrats just said, and that they've already now admitted they were wrong, that we're going to have more revenues if we don't reform spending. Now, we were told that the income tax passed in 1970 would solve our problem. We were told the rate going from 2.5% to 3% could be temporary. They made it permanent. Then they raised it from 3% to 5% with a temporary rollback, and that still wasn't enough. And now, of course, we've gone back up to 4.95%. The thing that's missing from this discussion is that the revenues, the taxes that the people pay, keep going up, and it goes up faster than the taxpayer's income here in Illinois more than anywhere else. You know, we used to be sort of a moderately taxed state. We now have the fifth highest overall per capita tax burden in the country, the highest property taxes in the country. We have states all around us who pay less taxes. They still have schools. They still have police departments. They still have fire departments, and in most cases, they're outperforming our schools, whether it's in Indiana, Wisconsin, Missouri, wherever you want to pick. And the bottom line is, why is it that our spending always grows faster than our revenues and our ability of people to pay? And then, therefore, why are so many people leaving the state? It happens because the political interests that have been controlling the state for so long are loyal to those who benefit from that spending. And the people who benefit from that spending are primarily public employees and the public employee unions. And they have tremendous leverage in the way our labor law is to extract money from municipalities, school districts, and the state. And until you change that relationship and make it a more level and fair playing field, we will always be in this hole, and there will always be a demand for more money from taxpayers.
And finally, so much to talk about, and we'll talk again soon, but the governor's going to have his own reelection battle on his hand. How critical is it that the Republican Party, meaning the governor, spend a lot of money to try and take out some Democrats in a state where, you know, with redistricting the way it is, that's not easy to do?
Well, the redistricting creates problems, but I think the governor, one of the things that I admire about the governor is he's put a tremendous amount of his own money into the battle, not just for his own race, but to try to help the General Assembly from his party and partisan point of view gain seats. And obviously, if you had Republican control of the Illinois House, that would be a very different dynamic than with the Democrats controlling both chambers. And if you're a fan of the governor, you'd want to see that. If you're a fan of the Democrats and J.B. Pritzker, obviously you wouldn't want to see that. But I think the more important question is, what is this fight really about? This fight is about average people who don't have access to political power, to patronage, and to privilege. And the people that control the Springfield political system are abusing the taxpayers and especially the powerless people in the state. And so the vote in 2018 is going to be about one point of view, which is I want to restore power to the people and be on the people's side. And I think the other side is going to be, I think everybody that's been in Springfield is doing just fine. Let's keep everybody in Springfield and put in a new governor, and let's continue down the path we're on. I think that is the story that is going to be unfolding in 2018. And the bottom line is, what is better for the human condition? And right now, people are voting with their feet to leave Illinois. And what we want to do is turn it around so that people want to stay, grow their business, raise their family, and live their version of the American dream right here in Illinois.
And as we get closer and closer to that election season, will you come back both on podcast and TV and let's chat about it again?
Absolutely. Anytime you want me, I'll be available.
What are you doing tonight? No, I'm kidding.
With a little plan.
Okay, sure. Always the caveat. John Tillman, president of the Illinois Policy Institute. Thanks for your time, sir. I sure appreciate your busy guy, and it's appreciated. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
I'll throw the radio's first month in free, and the power steering, I'll throw that in for free too, except a fee of $210. But hold on, you are a safe driver, so we'll knock $10 off of all 60 monthly payments. And on top of that, your trade-in equals $820 off the total too. But before we go any further, you'll also need a warranty, just $45 a month over the course of the 60-month lease. Then there's all that legal mumbo-jumbo, so you've got to add taxes, title, and rebate, which puts us very tiny $2,830 on the bill. And heck, I like you, so I'm willing to take a flat 10% off the top of this bad boy. What do you say? Hey, can I get you in this car today?
Before the discount is $26,960. With the discount, we're looking at $24,264.
Yeah!
Amazing. That is from Fox's show Superhuman. Perhaps you saw it with the superhuman math computer, Michael Beister, who I have to say, how he does it, I'll never know. And what you heard was the back end of a clip of a whole segment he did on that show where, you know, they kind of set it up to get him to do these mathematical calculations, start off with the price of a car, and then did a million and one different things to it. You heard a piece of that. And then basically he had to track it all and then give him the final price of the car, and he was correct to the penny. That makes him superhuman. That actually makes him an alien, if you ask me, but that's just my suggestion. Joining me to talk about how he does what he does, and more importantly, how he's going to teach you to do some of what he does, is indeed an old schoolmate of mine, Mike Beister. Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Great. Thanks, Paul. How are you?
I am great. We haven't seen each other in about 40 years.
just just about.
That's just a small amount of time. But you know what? I remember even back in our grammar school days, I don't remember much, but what I do remember was your mathematical mind. You were amazing in math. Everybody, you just knew everything. And then who knew you would turn it into your life and your world? So talk to me about, just so people understand, what is it you do now? Because this is a gift you have, I think, that you're using for good.
Right. Well, it's funny because in school I got to a certain level. I could do things that people thought was cool. They hit a lunchroom, but I was nowhere near what I could do when I found different ways to do things that made it much easier. And it's not just math. It's memory. It's focus. It's concentration. It's all these different skills that no one learns but are all teachable. And the cool thing about, like, Superhuman is every person I met on the show was someone that trained their mind to do these amazing things. And it's one of those things where people just figure out, this is how smart I am. You could be smart if you want to be smarter. It's just the skills are never taught. And that's such a crucial part of what's missing in our education system.
But you could do these things when you were a kid. So my question is, were you born with this just strange and important ability, or were you trained somewhere along the line?
I was born good with numbers. But what I could do today and what I've been able to teach people to do is far beyond what you remember, even though it was 40 years ago. I could do a lot of cool things, but nowhere near what I could do now. And I was the first to admit, when I was in high school and college, I developed it to another level. And the thing that shocked me the most is my cousin is a teacher at yours and mine school, Niles North, and she asked me to come speak to her kids, and the kids saw what I could do and thought it was cool. This was years ago. And they said, can you teach us? And I said, I'm sorry, it's not teachable. And they said, come on. So I humored them and taught them a few things. And to my shock, they were able to do just about everything I could do. And it was unbelievable. Video after video out there, you could see what kids could do. And it's not just math. It's focus. It's memory. Kids are memorizing so much better than they ever have before if they learn a few little secrets.
And, I'll let my listeners know, if they just go to YouTube and just put your name in, Mike or Michael Byster, B-Y-S-T-E-R, you will have all sorts of clips coming up. And I've watched so many of you in classrooms and working with students. So is it a set of finite rules? I mean, like, hey, if you learn these dozen rules, you can do anything? Or is it, I mean, that superhuman moment. And
right. The funny thing is once you learn a few things, like how to memorize items, and everything takes off, everything adds on to everything else. So you could quit wherever you want, but too many people, we have a company called Brainetics that taught hundreds of thousands of kids to do these incredible things, and it's won all these awards and it's fabulous. But our thing right now is, how you want to be the guy that changes the world? And I was the guy that was helping only kids that were motivated learners, and kids with families that could afford to buy products, and parents that wanted to do it home with their kids. I was ignoring the kids that really need our help. And that's what I'm doing now with a friend of mine. We're trying to get this into every school in the country and keep it so it's free, so no one has to pay for it. And I speak to teachers every day, and teachers are dying for it, and parents are dying for it. All we're looking for is to partner with the right people.
Well, have you talked to CPS, by the way, in the city? They could probably use some help.
Right, no doubt about it. I mean, but we're looking for – every school will get it when we could – we made Brainetics in a very fun and cool way. I'm looking for to partner with the guy that invented OxyClean was my partner for Brainetics. I don't know if you ever heard of the product.
Yeah, I have.
And
sure.
He sold his company for – amazing amounts, and he wanted to help kids. And now I'm looking for a major corporation to partner with us to figure out how could every kid in the country get access to this and keep it affordable, because it changes every kid's life. And the way we have to do it, we have to put it in schools and not make it part of the curriculum, just make it so kids, it's available for the teachers. Because I guarantee you, Paul, every teacher will use it. Because I know thousands of them, and they use it now, and they have to pay for it. So our thing is, if you make it free, we'll be able to affect everyone.
Well, I'll walk down the hall and have Tom Skilling write you a check, so if that works for you.
You know, it's okay. Tell them the truth. We're just looking for the right partner. We're asking all your listeners, if they don't mind, you know, they should go on MikeBeister.com and go on Teachable Genius, or you want to watch videos, MikeBeisterKids.com. You could watch what the kids could do, but all we're trying to do is let's talk to politicians. Let's talk to corporations. Let's talk to the media. Let's get this for free for everyone. There's no reason why it's not.
Right. And by the way, it's a kid thing, and I understand the purpose of that. But is there any reason adults, like, you know, would my brain, and my brain is as old as yours pretty much, could I still grasp this stuff?
Over 40% of people that bought Brainetics, even though we marketed only to kids, were adults and seniors buying it for themselves.
Ah.
Amazing thing. And so many people are saying it helped me with dementia, helped me with, you know, putting off everything. My dad is 88 years old, and he uses it. And he could take a deck of cards, look through it, and tell what card's missing within 20 seconds.
Wow. Okay. So this is great. So I think the best thing we can do, I mean, we don't have the game. I don't have the game in front of me. But we can play a little bit, right?
Sure.
So let's do that. Now, here's one rule. Here's something I do remember from a kid. And I thought this was, like, incredible. You could take any number, say 120. And yeah. When you multiply any number times 5, to me, the trick was you cut the number in half, so 120 in half is 60, and you add a 0 on the end, 600, and that's 120 times 5. Is it those kinds of rules? That would be too plentiful, though, but that's an example of one, right?
Here's the thing. I teach at the beginning, I'll teach a bunch of little shortcuts. Like, I'll teach you one right now off the top of my head. Like, how to multiply a number by itself in the 50s. So say you have a number like 54 squared. It starts out with 25, because 5 times 5 is 25, and then you add the 1 digit to it. 25 plus 4 is 29, and then you square the 1 digit. 4 times 4 is 16. 29, 16.
Okay. Now, I got most people who are now rewinding the podcast to walk through that again.
Sorry, I won't do that again. I apologize.
But but my point is, you're doing that. I mean, I'm hearing you, and I'm thinking, like, okay, I could probably learn that, but... The way, I mean, on that Superhuman show, Mike, you just boom, boom, boom. You're not even thinking. It's just happening.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. At the beginning, we teach people, because there's millions of people in the world that have anxiety, learning anxiety, math anxiety, memory anxiety. So we teach them fun things to get their confidence up. And then once your confidence is up, I can teach you how to do anything.
Okay,
that's
so here.
The whole thing is, you have to deal with each person as an individual. And so many people have never felt smart in their whole life, and you know, so if I get to the hard stuff at the beginning, I'm going to teach you a bunch of really fun things you can learn in 30 seconds. And then that's the key.
Okay. So here's the thing. I was thinking about how to challenge you, and you and I kind of talked about this ahead of time, and you made a great point, because I could sit here and start throwing numbers at you, this times that, and divide it by this, and add this and that, but there is no proof that you don't have a calculator in front of you doing it. So I realized I can't put you on the spot that way to throw numbers at you, because if you have a trusty calculator, hey, how do I know? How can I test you so that it's sort of verifiable by our listeners to go, no, this guy's really doing it?
Right, and I ask, in Chicago, I mean, one of the things we do is we'll do stuff with the day you were born stuff, or in Chicago area, we ask people to give us the driver's license and just read me the final 4 digits of your Illinois driver's license.
Okay.
If it's a local show.
I'll do that.
Legit.
All right. I've taken my driver's license out. Now, what are you going to do? What?
Digits, you have an 11-digit number on your driver's license. I'm just looking for the final 4.
Okay. So the number is 8174.
Does June 19th mean anything to you?
Yeah. That's my birthday.
That's your birthday. From 8174, I'm able to tell it's June 19th, and I don't know if your parents are still around, but you were born on a Thursday.
That I don't...
I know
actually,
you were born in 1958.
I do...
I don't know, but you can check that out. But
I actually do. I do believe that's correct. I believe
it. In front of me, it doesn't work with calculators.
No. Now, is that Thursday thing, are you getting that from the number, or is that one of those your Mary Lou Henner things?
That's what I'm doing in my head. So that's what I teach kids to do. Like, if you watch some of the videos, if you go to Mike Beister Kids, you'll see other kids doing that. My son does it. Everyone does it. It's not.
Now, wait.
In 30 seconds, but it's...
No, but I'm going to give you 30 seconds. So what did you do with the 8174 to come up with June 19? Because obviously there's something about that, in other words, this was not a random number. The guy that got his license before me didn't get 8173.
right. No, it's not in order. It's not the way it works. But the way it works, I'm happy to show you. The 8 I only wanted because I knew you were about my age. So the 8, you were born in 58.
True, okay.
The last digit. So the 174 is the important thing. For men, there's a different code for women. But for 174, what I had to do, and it's not really that hard. It might seem that hard. But I divided it by 31 in my head. And all you have to do is know the multiples of 31.
Oh, and we all know those.
Oh, I know. But if you divided 174 by 31, you get 5 remainder 19. And then you add 1 to the month, 6, 19.
And is that, I mean, is that how that number is designed, to make that happen?
Yes. The first 3 numbers are your first name. The next three numbers are your last name, and the next 2 numbers after that are the year you were born, and the final 3 numbers are the day you were born.
Wow.
So the first... always been. No one knows that, because that's what I'm saying is I looked at the pattern, and I could see patterns. That's my main talent, Paul, is finding patterns and finding shortcuts to do anything, and that's the whole reason why I'm able to take... We don't take kids from A to B. We take them from A to Z.
So you're like that movie Beautiful Mind, except in that, but he was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, people see it. They think it's a game or magic trick, but until these kids come home with straight 80s, then they know this is real.
That's just amazing. And so, by the way, now if I went to Jesse White, he's the Secretary of State. He gave me this license, even autographed mine. So, would he know that? Does he probably know that?
I think they do. It's just in the code in the computer. I think some policemen. I've done so many shows. I've done thousands of shows. I think some policemen have come up to me and said they knew it, but they did it to make sure that people the IDs were legitimate. So they were able to spot phony driver's license. If women have to be between 600 and 972. Men have to be between 0 and 372.
Okay, so I have another chance. I've got another driver's license because you do know me. I've known you for a long time, so you could have done your homework on me. I'm going to test you.
Gotcha.
So I'm sitting with – she just happens to be there at the microphone. Kelly Barnacle is one of our great assignment people, producers. She does all sorts of great stuff here. She was working, and I just looked at her while I was talking to you. I said, give me your driver's license. And she trusted me. She's a foolish woman, but she trusted me. So she can't hear you, but I'm just gonna test. I'm just gonna give him 4 numbers off your driver's license, okay? That's it. And I'm gonna give him your social security number. No, I'm kidding. All right. So you ready for the numbers, Mike?
Illinois, right?
Yeah, she's Illinois.
Okay.
9754.
May 30th.
Is May 30th your birthday? She nods yes. What else can you tell us?
Well, I don't know. She's something 8 years old. Is she 28, 38, 48?
Oh, are you 38 years old? 48?
48?
Really? Oh, my God, she looks fabulous. I went to – he told me that, and I went, no, that can't be right. So I went younger. Really? Are you 48? Oh, my God.
So
you should see her.
Born on a Friday, May 30th, 19th.
And you were born on a Friday.
Yes. So it was a Friday.
She says yes.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. By the way, her driver's license picture is terrible. Just thought I'd – can you tell that from that number? Can you tell that it's just a really bad driver's license picture?
Oh, my God. I could visualize it.
Okay.
It was a bad hair day.
She's a beautiful woman, beautiful person, so I'm just having fun with her. But yeah, she acknowledges, so that's all correct. So you can tell that. Thank you, Kelly.
It's a fun thing, and, whatever. I'm going to do this off the top of my head, so I may be wrong,
okay.
So don't kill me with this. But as of now, I think she is – oh, my gosh. I'm gonna try this, and if I'm wrong, I'm gonna apologize.
Okay, all right. He says this might be wrong, Kelly. But what are we gonna test?
17,807 days old, something like that.
So, says you're 17,880 days old.
17,807, approximately.
17,807.
I do fun things like that, but it's way more important. Yeah, kids can memorize anything for any test.
Right. Well, this is amazing, and that worked. And so I see it's a whole series of tricks. So you know what, Michael? We're out of time. We need to do this again at some point. But for people that want it, you already gave your website, but folks who say, I definitely want to, get that, I won't call it a game. It's not a game. It's learning all this stuff. Where can they check you out?
We're going to ask people to go to either MikeBeister.com, click on Clickable Genius, or write to Julie at Brainetics.com, BRAINETICS, and ask for, you want this in schools. And we're going to make sure, if your listeners help us, we're going to make sure every kid in the country learns this and learns this for free.
Wow. That's fantastic.
The right people to get the power to get it there. We're not going to sell it to everyone. We want to give it to them.
Right.
But every school has to have access to it.
Well, you know what? It's so great to know that again, you had these skills when you were a kid with me in school, to know that you went on to use it for good and not evil.
Thank you.
It makes me proud, and it was just so amazing to kind of, there you were on TV and coming back all these years later, and that I know that guy. So
right, and I know you. I see you on TV. I'm a big fan.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thanks for joining me here. We'll see if we can make a difference in getting this into people's hands, and I appreciate you. Thank you very much for your time. Mike Beister, check out MikeBeister.com, BYSTER, smart guy. Thank you. He's superhuman. Thank you, Michael. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.